You know, if you've been coming to a number of our conferences, we like to draw the whole day together in the last half hour with a time of devotional. And our speaker this afternoon is our brother Arnett McEntee, who will be doing just that, just to speak to us quietly from God's Word. Arnett?
Thank you very much, my brother. Just before I ask you to read with me a portion of the Word of God, John chapter 6, I would like to thank you for the interest a number has shown in Family Bible Hour radio ministry. We'll value your prayers very much on behalf of that outreach in the gospel. Now in its 35th year, this week it will be released on more than 90 occasions around the world in 17 languages. We thank God that four times a week we beam into communist Russia, into China in three different languages, into India in four, and so on. We'll value your prayer relative to an exercise to begin a broadcast in the Portuguese language and beam it from Bonaire into Brazil. And in doing so, our objective would be to reach 130 million people. Please pray with us about that. John chapter 6, verse 1. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. And a great multitude followed him, because they saw his miracles which he did on those that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there sat with his disciples. The Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, "Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat?" This he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little." One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, "There is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many?" And Jesus said, "Make the men sit down." Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down, in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, "Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost." Therefore, they gathered together and filled the 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves and the 2 small fishes. Verse 13 again. Therefore, they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, "This is of a truth that prophet that should come unto the world." Father, would it please thee to shut us into thyself, corporately and individually. May we hear thy voice speaking to each and every heart. We pray for thy glory and the glory of the one we love, thy Son and our own personal Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. When reading this beautiful passage some time ago, 5 words, it seemed, stood out in all of their force and fullness. And I'd like, by God's help, to conclude this conference with these 5 words. You'll find them in verse 9. There is a lad here. There is a lad here. Here we are met, or meet a young man, a boy, And it was not a case of what he could do for God, but what he would let God do with him, and what he had to sacrifice and to give to his God. Dear fellow believer, young or old, what is it that you and I have that the Lord could use? Lord, there's a lad here. Lord, there's a dad here. And he, in his goodness, can use both. A lad here, in this auditorium, to be used by God and for God. And some older brother or sister says, that's great, aren't it? Give it to our young people. That's what they need. But then come to think of it, God used a Caleb too. And he was 85 years of age. I wonder if this evening or this afternoon, there are some who will stand not only with a lad, but stand as well with Caleb and the man of 85 years, say with him, Joshua, give me that mountain. I'd like to take one more good crack at those boys. I feel just as I did when I was 40 years of age and involved in the service of God. Joshua, I'd like to be used again and used for God. Yes, God uses lads. And thank God, he uses Calebs. The story's the most interesting one, I find. The men who are in company with Christ are faced with a question. 5,000 men alone. How are they to be fed? And one says, well, you know, Lord, even if we had 200 penny worth of bread, that would not be enough to feed this crowd. And so, there's no help from that quarter. But then, Andrew comes forth. I love Andrew, don't you? His name means manly. I'd like to be a manly God, man for God, wouldn't you? A man or a woman that God could use. A lad or a dad available to God for his service. And he says, Lord, there's a lad here. I wonder how Andrew made the acquaintance of that lad. Was he up close to Christ? Was he in boyish curiosity close to the object of the crowd that day, and as such, he was up front, dead center? I don't know. Maybe the reverse is true. Maybe he was away in the periphery of the crowd. And maybe Andrew saw him, and he got talking to him. Possibly he would begin by asking his name and where he had come from. Asked him what his special interests were. How was he doing at school these days? What did he do after school? Was he working in McDonald's or Wendy's? I don't know. But I'm confident of this, that Andrew, the manly man, had an interest in a boy. And that interest developed to the point where Andrew learned this boy had something God could use. And I think that some of the questions that have been asked of the panel would indicate that there are young men here and young women and older ones too, and you have something, beloved, that God can use. Are you prepared to sacrifice it and give it to him? You see, Andrew learned early in his experience with this lad that he had potential. And he had something that God could use. And he was prepared to see it used. The old preacher had come to the close of another year, and so little had been done in the church for God. When the elders of the church faced him with their barrage of questions, they finally said, "And how many have been saved here this past year?" The old man of God dropped his head and said rather shamefully, "There's only been one. Only a boy. Bobby Moffat." But Robert Moffat shook a continent for God. Why? Because he was a boy with potential for God. Are there fellows here today? Again, you dear young men, you young women, I covet you for Christ. Will you give yourselves to him? Something interesting about Andrew. And it's true of godly men. Godly men can see the potential in the hearts and lives of young people. And the reverse is true. Young men and young women that God is going to use and can be used for God, they can readily discern in older saints a quality that they'd like to know more about. And I suggest to you, beloved, that that's what had happened that day on the grassy slopes. Here was a boy and he was concerned. He was concerned about spiritual things. How do I know? He followed Christ, and that's all I need to know. He followed the Lord. Maybe he went to his mother that morning and he said, "Hey, Mom, I heard today that Jesus of Nazareth, you know, that miracle working one, he's going to be coming along this way. And I'd love to spend a day with him. Mom, could you make me a lunch?" And she made him a lunch. And off he went. This lad, with a desire to know more of God. This lad, with a desire to follow Christ. Oh, dear child of God, are your desires and mine, regardless of age, those kinds of desires? We want to follow Christ. Cost us what it will. We're prepared to pay the price. The bended knee and the open book and fellowship with God and His beloved people. I have often heard my dear friend, Les Rainey, say as he spoke to young people at camp, "Remember, young man, when you go out to meet God, the only thing you take with you is your knowledge of God." And there's a lot of truth in those words. Is it possible that some of us, beloved, will go out as spiritually literate, knowing little or nothing about the man who died for us? This young man, he wanted to spend time with the Lord Jesus Christ. He had that deep desire. Paul said, "Brethren, my heart's desire, my prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved." That I might know him was his desire. "Be thou an example," he said to young Timothy. "Be thou an example unto the believers in love and conduct and so on." This young man wanted to know fellowship with the Lord Jesus. But not only did he have that desire and that concern, he was prepared for his day. You see, he brought along his own food. He was going to be able to share it. He didn't realize how much he was going to be able to share it, mind you. But he was. And it is as you and I, beloved, know time alone with God. Learning and gaining those precious truths from the Word of God that we're able to share them and to be a blessing to one another. This young man was concerned about his physical well-being. And obviously, because in company with Christ, his spiritual well-being. Oh, we're concerned about our physical well-being, aren't we? Maybe there are some joggers among us, or some walkers, or whatever. I happen to be in the latter category. But we're concerned about those things. We have the same deep passion for spiritual growth and development in our lives.
And Andrew says to the Lord, there's a lad here. And all he's got is 5 loaves and 2 small fishes. 5 loaves. The number of divine grace in the midst of human weakness. I had a letter from a servant of Christ the other day, and he was talking about his assembly, and he says it said that God uses weak things. I guess we qualify, he said. Yes? He was only a lad, and he only had 5 loaves, but God could use them. God uses the weak things. You remember when the Midianites were driving Israel into the ground. There was a man in a wine press. God said to Gideon, thou mighty man of valor. Hey, Lord, you've got the wires crossed some way. He isn't a man of valor. He isn't out leading the hosts of Israel. He's hidden in a wine press. But what was he doing? He was threshing out the wheat to feed the people of God. God says, he's a man of valor. He made the honor roll of God. Why? Because he had a desire to make sure the people of God were fed. What a desire. To know the one who said, I am the bread of life, and then to take that bread of life and feed it to the people of God. And he had 2 small fishes. Just 2. The number of separation and of fellowship. Separation from the world. Fellowship. God and his people. And beloved, that's still the kind of a man or a woman that God's prepared to use. One who gives himself in totality to his beloved Lord. So, he had his meager lunch. And I found it most interesting as I looked at this just at noon hour today. Something struck me that never had. Andrew says, Lord, there's a boy here, he's only a boy, and he's got 5 loaves and 2 small fishes. They were available. And then, what happened? The Lord said, make the men sit down. That's all I need! I just need a lad with a couple of buns and a couple of fish. 5 buns and 2 fish. Once I've got those, I've got all I need. Young fellow, I don't know what you have to give to God this afternoon. Dear young woman, dear older one, I don't know what it is. It might just be a couple of loaves. 5 of them and 2 small fishes. But if you've got them, he's prepared to say, all right, make the men sit down. Now we go to work. Now we go to work. And he was willing to serve. When I am weak, it's all. Then I'm strong. But Lord, what can you do with such a meager lunch? Well, the Lord could well say, if that boy's prepared to give it to me, I'm prepared to use it, and I'm going to use him. So he blessed it. Through his disciples, they took it to a waiting, hungry company. Now, says the Lord, gather them. They come in. And that little fellow that may have been front stage, center, or right on the periphery of the crowd, I'm sure he's right up beside his Lord now. Food is coming back. All right. 12 baskets full. And the little fellow possibly is absolutely amazed. But I think I hear him as he says in boyish language, looking at Andrew. Hey, Andrew, look what me and the Lord just done. He was a part of it. And oh, the excitement, beloved, being used by God and being used for God. You know what that little fellow heard? He heard verse 14. He heard those men say, why? When they'd seen the miracle, this is of a truth, that prophet that should come into the world. He heard them give glory to his master. What does any true servant of Christ want? Is it not this? That they might hear men and women and fellows and girls giving praise to the one who loved and died for them and gave his all. Your brethren, your sisters, only a lad, only a dad.
But what exploits God could accomplish through you. Are you concerned about service? Are you prepared for service? Are you willing to serve? If so, you will be blessed. He wants to use what you have got. Prepared to say, Lord, here are these 5 buns and these 2 little fishes. Take them and use them for yourself. Put it this way. 5 broken loaves beside the sea and 1,000 fed. As thy hand, Lord, in breaking, bless the bread. Men would have that throng and emptiness sent away, whose need was met with broken bread that day. A broken vase of priceless worth, rich fragrance shed in ointment poured in worship on thy head. A lovely thing, all shattered thus, what waste they thought. And Mary's deed of love, thy blessing brought. A broken form upon the cross, and soul set free, thy anguish there has paid the penalty, sin's awful price in riven flesh and pain and blood, redemption's cause, the broken Lamb of God. O break my life, if need must be, no longer mine, I give it thee. O break my will, the offering, for blessings come when thou dost break. Amen. Shall we pray? Our gracious God and loving Heavenly Father, we want to thank you now, at the close of this conference, for your goodness to us. First of all, in our Lord Jesus Christ, in coming into our lives and saving us from ruin, from uselessness, from hell. We want to thank you for working in our lives to give us interest and desire and concern for those things that are important to you. We want to thank you for making this conference possible and bringing us all here today. And Lord, you know that our hearts are full as we come to the end of these meetings and we think of the challenges from your word brought before us, speaking to us about our attitudes toward yourself, your word, our brothers and sisters in Christ, the world in which we live, the sinners around us who know not the Savior yet. We thank you for the challenge from the life of Nehemiah and pray that you will continue to speak to us about selflessness, about dedication, about holiness above all, about readiness, about concern for others. Our God, we want to thank you for this privilege of being challenged again. And our prayer would be that as we go from here, that you would intervene, that Satan, the enemy of our souls, would not come yet this afternoon or this evening or tomorrow or next week and snatch all these things from us, cause us to become so caught up and occupied in daily affairs that we forget what we have been spoken to about today. Our God, if we could take each one of us just one challenge, one thing you have said to us from this day, and allow you to use it in our lives to make a difference, to make a change, to draw us closer to yourself, to make us more useful for your glory. We pray it might be so. We ask you to do this for us, even as you have allowed us to be here today, to hear these words. And our God, we would thank you too for all those who have given of themselves in so many different ways to make this day possible. And we pray
for all of us as we go from here, you will take us safely our various ways. And Lord, make us a blessing. Use us for your purposes. Help us even to review what we think are our purposes and see if they really be yours. Lord, we will commend ourselves into your loving care. For the glory of our Lord.